I'm not sliding down anybody's walls, but I'm not judging because I understand. In 2012, I used to sit in an empty bathtub and listen to Mary J. Blige Not Gonna Cry, crying. You are now listening to Virgo Chronicles with Shauna J. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Virgo Chronicles. I'm so excited to talk about this album. Summer Walker's Still Over It. And I knew this shit was going to be a banger. Like, I knew that. Before she even came out with her debut album, Over It, I was on to Summer. That's my girl. It's just so relatable. You know, it's super relatable, but it's just a little, it hits different for me this time because back in the day, I would have literally been one of those girls, like, you know, sending it to my nigga, like, babe, listen to, I want you to listen to this real quick. You know, they be fake listening because they don't care for real. But I was one of those girls, like, oh, you need to listen to this. This really reminds me of you. This really reminds me of us. Child, bye. It's just not even that. But yeah, the album was amazing. She's amazing. I love her music. And basically what I want to do is break down the album, like, literally song for song without you feeling like it's song for song. You get me? So I'm going to break it down without you even realizing that I'm breaking it down from song one to the last song. And it's all facts. Even if I'm not going through it at this particular moment, it's all facts, because I was the same way. I would defend my nigga to the end. There's nothing that he did that was wrong in my eyes. If a girl reached out to me saying something about him, I'm like, wow, this bitch is so fucking mad. Like, she's such a hater. She's this, she's that, she's corny. I can't believe he had sex with this broad. I didn't know you fuck with corny bitches. That's one of my lines. I love saying it. Like, I didn't know you fuck with corny bitches. I love stuff like that. You know, it's a little bit of denial, it's ego, it's a lot of things. So I understand what she was saying. And I'm pretty sure, clearly from the numbers, and they already said that she's about to surpass Beyonce's Lemonade numbers. You know, we relate, clearly. You know, she said a lot of things that I think women are afraid to say, but it's the facts. Depending on how much I care about you, I will defend you until I'm blue in the face. I don't care if you're right, wrong, whatever. If I feel like you're for me, then you're right. And oh God, I hate to talk about it, but let's be clear. You know, if you've ever dated a guy who has a baby mama, you don't have any children, but he has a baby mama, and whatever they tell you about their baby mama, you're going to believe it, right? Don't lie to me. If I'm wrong, let me know I'm wrong. But if you're dating a guy and he tells you certain things about his baby mother, oh, she doesn't let me see my child, she's this, she's that. Okay, she can't be all of those things because you got her pregnant. So it's got to be something good about her. It's got to be something good about mamas because you got her pregnant. Honestly, that's like a post-reality. But when you're in that moment and you just love someone or you're so into them, you're not really thinking about those things. You're not thinking about the fact that he liked her enough to get her pregnant. And I've definitely been that, like, oh yeah, he really wants to spend time with his child, but she's, you know, she's bitter, she's this, she's that. And you know, you kind of amp them up and big them up to be more than what they are, because that's the idea that they put in your head and you believe it. Oh, he's amazing, and she took him for granted. He's amazing, and she can't accept the fact that she wasn't the one, but I'm definitely the one. Is that ego? You know what I mean? Is that ego? It probably is. I don't know. I still sometimes have a hard time differentiating ego from reality, because I'm human. You know, I don't ever want it to seem like I think I'm perfect, because I don't. I still have issues with some of those things. And, you know, being blinded by love is real. Sometimes you're so caught up in something that you feel like you've always wanted. That fairy tale effect is fucking real. That feeling in your chest, that feeling in your heart when you meet someone and they just make you experience emotions that you've never experienced before, it's real. It's very hard to shake. It's very hard to snap back into reality. And I know this from experience. I know this from my own history that it's, you know, it's really hard. And I've been through two types of heartbreak. I've gone through that heartbreak where it's, you know, it's brand new. I've never felt this thing before. You're my first love. I want to keep this forever. I don't know what this is, but it just feels really great to me. I don't know anything about it. And then I've also been through a heartbreak where it's like, okay, I've been through a heartbreak before, but you're saving me from that. You're allowing me to experience things I've never experienced before, such as vacations. We're playing house. We're meeting each other's families. Oh my God, this is an adult relationship. It's beautiful to me. I've been through, you know, different types of heartbreak. And I feel like that's what she not necessarily a first love, but that playing house grown type of heartbreak, I feel her. We're buying each other expensive gifts. That shit is different. It really is different. And more often than not, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but more often than not, you're not ready for that. Nobody is teaching you how to combat that kind of stuff. You know, you don't know how to handle that if it comes to an end. And that's what she talks about. You know, it's really hard accepting the fact that something that you thought was going to last forever is eventually going to be over. You never imagine, like, when you're laying down with someone that you know, or you think you know, rather, when you're laying down with them every single night, you're not going to sleep thinking, like, oh my God, tomorrow he's going to break the fuck out of my heart. And, or he or she's going to break the fuck out of my heart. And all of this, these good feelings are going to come to an end. You're not thinking about that. No one's thinking about that. So I hate the fact that some people try to make it seem. I hate when people like shit on female artists for making their career, not even making their career, but basing their music off of heartbreak. Because I know me personally, I don't talk about it a lot, but like I write myself. And one of the biggest motivators to me is heartbreak, because it's something about heartbreak that just makes it easy to write. It's something about heartbreak that gets the creative juices flowing. And I feel like that's better than losing my shit. You know what I mean? So you don't prejudge. You don't know what people are going through, and you don't know what type of effect it's having on them. So if writing is the outlet, if creating that music is the outlet, then respect it. You know, just respect it. If you've ever had to beg someone for reciprocity, oh my God, let me tell y'all something about that. Literally, since I was in, I want to say junior high school, and I got hip to Lauryn Hill's X Factor, and she talked about reciprocity, I've been obsessed with that word ever since. And I feel like it's the same way for a lot of people. Lauryn Hill is the reason why I love the idea of reciprocity. So if you've ever been a person who's had to beg for reciprocity, let it go. If you're that person right now, let it go. If you're begging for someone to give you what they're giving them, then you need to move forward. It's time to do what you need to do for yourself. It's time to level up. That's just the facts. Like you have to move on with your life. Being hurt in that way is something that's sort of indescribable. It's really hard to come back from, and I don't think that we were taught to come back from those kinds of things. You could literally be with a person for years and years on end, and they still won't know who you are. And I know that feeling. They won't know who you are. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what kind of what kind of clues you put out, even if you're doing it unintentionally. You could be with someone for years and they won't know you. You know, I'm a type of person, I'm super attentive. I want to pay attention to my significant other. I'm going to pay attention. It's not a task for me. I'll know what kind of candy you like. I'll know what shows you're into. I'll figure out just anything because it's easy for me. I'm paying attention to you. But when you're in a relationship with a person and they don't even know who you are, what you like, what gets you going, what you dislike, little things like that, then you don't need to be in that relationship. It's not healthy. It's completely unhealthy. A person who cares will show you that they care through their actions. I don't give a fuck about words anymore. Words mean shit to me. It's very easy for a person to manipulate you through their words. And it's easy for a person to manipulate you through their actions as well, if we really want to talk about it. But it's like, do you know me? Sometimes a person can know you and use it, you know, for malicious intent. That's just a sad reality. That's something that you have to come to terms with when you decide, I'm going to put myself out there to fall in love. I'm going to put myself out there to try and find my person. Yeah, you're putting yourself at risk. Let's be clear. You're putting yourself at risk. But as long as you understand that, you'll be okay. Because, you know, it's you know what they say, you gotta kiss a couple of frogs. I'm not biased here. I'm not basing this off of any one sex. You gotta kiss a couple of frogs before you come across a prince, a princess, a queen, a king, whatever it is that suits you. You know, that's just life. And I think that it's hard for people to come to terms with that. Heartbreak is gonna happen. Disappointment, it's going to happen. You know, it's inevitable in life. That's all a part of your journey. And at some point, yeah, honestly, at some point, you're kind of selling yourself a dream. Like, if a person is manipulating you to the point where you kind of can foresee the manipulation, you're selling yourself a dream. You can't blame anybody else for that. You know, there's levels. Like, okay, at first it's like, okay, I'm blind to this. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what kind of intentions that this person may or may not have for me. But if this person has done something to you, you have a falling out. You make back up. They do it to you again. You have a falling out. You make back up. And so on and so forth. At that point, you're selling yourself a dream, babe. Let's talk about it. I know that type of journey because I've been on that type of journey. In the moment, I didn't understand that. It was always, woe is me. Oh, this nigga ain't shit. Oh my God, we love that term. Niggas ain't shit. That's our favorite term. Everybody's a human. Everybody has been through things. Everybody is dealing with trauma. Everybody has things about themselves that another person may or may not be okay with. You know what I mean? I'm so much more aware of that than I was back in the day. But it really is just what it is. If something is not right for you, if something doesn't sit well in your spirit, if something just doesn't feel good or okay, then remove yourself. Because if you don't, then essentially you're selling yourself a dream. And what happens after that, you know what happens? You start to lose your fucking mind. You start to lose your mind. That's another thing that people underestimate. Heartbreak will absolutely make you lose your mind. It will make you lose your mind. I was watching something on TikTok the other day. It was like a woman, and I don't know if she was doing an interview or what, but she basically was just touching on the fact that, especially in the Black community, we aren't taught to deal with heartbreak. We aren't taught to deal with emotion. So when things happen suddenly, when things happen that we weren't expecting, they can completely tamper with our lifestyles. We could lose our job because of heartbreak. You know, we lose jobs over heartbreak. We lose friends over heartbreak. We lose family over heartbreak. All of these different things that we sacrifice over heartbreak because we don't know how to deal with them properly. We don't know how to deal with them in a healthy way. we just weren't taught these things. We weren't taught a lot of things that are essential to living a completely healthy life. So it's hard, you know. It's almost it makes me sad because I feel like a lot of these things are more so marketed for women. This is something that if you're reading a blog or listening to a podcast or listening to a song, this is mostly marketable for women. But men do deal with the same things. And I know it's not what was expected of this podcast. And honestly, I didn't even write this anywhere in my notes. But as I'm listening to myself, I'm like, yeah, I know men who go through these same things. And it's so sad because a lot of men, you know, a guy could get his heart broken in the second grade and be done with women for the rest of his life, which is fucking nuts. I don't know why that's normalized. I don't know why people don't read more into that. I don't know why it's not a big enough issue to the point where people are like, you know what, let's create a platform so that this doesn't happen anymore, because that's not okay. And that says a lot about the idea of what masculinity is supposed to be, because it's false. But that's another podcast. I don't want to get too deep. Yeah, you know, It's just a very psychological thing. And what happens most of the time amongst men and women? What do we try to do when we get our hearts broken and, you know, we're lost in our thoughts? We have too much time to ourselves. What do we try to do? Get up under a new person. Oh, let me find a replacement. Let me find this replacement to distract me, to make me feel like what happened didn't happen. That's unhealthy. That's not okay. And more time, it doesn't work. Who is your replacement? Either somebody that you constantly go back to, and I'm not saying I don't do it because I do, but anyway, somebody that you continue to deal with and it never works and you just keep trying and attempting, but it's never going to work, or someone that you don't even know that well, but you don't care because you're just trying to get your mind off of something that's, you know, difficult for you. It's completely unhealthy. It's completely unhealthy. And a lot of us have also been enabled our entire lives. I want to say something real quick, though. And I don't know, this might make people tune out. This might make people not want to listen to me past this part. I don't really give a fuck because I'm very passionate about this. I hate a mama that enables her fucking son. Like, oh my God, I hate that shit. He's not a fucking baby. That's a man. That's a man. Raise him as such. Stop it. Like, get your nipple out of his mouth. That is a grown ass man. Let me sit up because I'm laying down in my bed. By the time your son gets to me, he should not be looking for another mommy. Are you shitting me? I hate that so much. I don't want to be your mama figure. I'm not going to be your mother figure. That's not what I'm here for. I am looking for a man. A man who agrees with the stipulations and the things that I am looking for in a relationship. I don't wish to take care of you like I am your mother. I don't want to. I'm not going to make you feel like certain things that you do is okay, even if I know they're not. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be afraid to tell you what I'm feeling just because I don't want you to get upset, or because I don't want you to react a certain way. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I don't like that. You know, I want to help you to become the best version of yourself and vice versa. And I feel like a lot of men have been stifled because their mommies have decided that, you know what, I'm going to love my son regardless of what kind of son he is. And that goes for how he behaves in romantic relationships, in his career, in his overall life. That's not okay. It's not healthy. I'm not doing it. So if you enforce this kind of behavior, what is he going to do when he gets to me? Well, my mom did this. I don't have time for that. I promise you. I'm really not doing that. And you know why I can be passionate about it? Because I've done it.
I've done it. So I can say what I want to say about it because I understand what the experience of that feels like. And it doesn't feel good at all. It actually feels horrible. It feels absolutely horrible. And when you get into a place with a guy where you know it's just not working for you, you know it's not working for you, you're going to try to continuously fuel yourself with ideas or give yourself ideas to think that there's still hope, right? Oh, this is something that I hate so much. Again, I've done it. I hate when I'm talking to my friends and they're talking about a guy and they're like, you know what? I'm just looking for closure. Shut up. Like, literally stop talking to me. That doesn't make sense. What can he possibly say to you that's going to make you say, I'm done? If you're done, you are done. There is no closure. You know what closure is code word for? Let me hit him up and let me say things to him that's going to cause him to say things to me, that's going to further manipulate my mind into thinking that I need to either A, continue talking to him, or B, fuck him tonight. It's a waste of time. I just want to talk to him one more time and get that closure. Shut up. Like, just shut up. Just stop it. And that's not even me being mean. That's tough love. That's me speaking from experience. Once again, I've done this. I know how this shit goes. There's no such thing, babe. You're not going to get that closure. The closure is you deciding that you're done. That's the closure. Closure, verbal closure is a joke, you know? And eventually you'll get to the point where you're like, you know what? This is not going to work out for me. The one part of Summer's album where I can't relate is the baby mama part because I don't have any children. But, you know, I do understand that when a child is involved, it is a lot harder. I get that. I totally get that. I empathize. I know, because if it's hard for me without a child, I can only imagine what it feels like for you to share a child. That's a bond. That's a life bond. You know what I mean? Whether he's active or not in the life, that's a life bond. There's not much I can say about that. I try not to speak on things that I cannot relate to. I don't ever want to step on anyone's toes or make them feel like their emotions are invalid. But I will say that I do know that it's possible to move forward, child or not. It's possible to move forward. If that's what you really want for yourself, that's what you're going to do. You just have to accept the fact, hey, this wasn't for me. This wasn't for me. I wanted this to be for me so bad. I love this person so intensely. I love this person with everything that I had. You know, I wanted to give him all of the things that I felt like he deserved, and I wanted those same things in return. Because most of the time, a lot of us, you know, we are, when we try to find significant others and when we think that our relationships are going to be long lasting, that's coming from an inner child that's really just looking for love, that's looking to fill a void. And I get that and I empathize with that. But I think that because we weren't taught to deal with loss and heartbreak and things coming to an end, it makes it so much more dramatic. And that's something that I've been trying to teach myself and train myself to understand. Things come to an end. Everything that you want to be for you is not going to be for you. That's normalcy. That's life. You know, that's really just the way that things work out. And what I want to end this saying is, I just want to say, you know, at the end of the album, Ciara's Prayer, you know, that's been a thing on social media for a very long time now. Ciara, what was the prayer? How did you get Russell? How did that work out for you? And I think that her prayer was beautiful. It was amazing. I love what she said. I love the tone that she said it in. I love that Summer chose to put it at the end of her album. I thought that that was fucking gold. Literally, like, that was so strategic and genius. But I also want to say that it was customized. So the fact that people are obsessing and saying that, you know, this is the prayer that they've been waiting for. And I've even joked around and said, like, oh, I'm going to say the prayer. Oh, we got the prayer now. Because, you know, because it's a thing that people have been talking about for a long time. But I want you to understand your prayer is personal to yourself. And I'm not a big time Christian. I don't even think I'm such a person that could, I can't tell y'all a prayer. I'm not great at those things. When I pray, I speak like I'm talking to a regular person. There's no tweaking to my prayer. There's no dramatics to my prayer. When I'm, you know, feeling like I want to pray, I just say literally what comes to mind. I don't really think about it, but I do know that prayer is personal. So yes, I think that Ciara's prayer was beautiful, but I think that it was just a stepping stone to influence us to say our own prayers. That's just how I feel. I don't know. It's like I said, I'm not super religious, but say what comes to you, what comes to your mind first. I mean, in her prayer, she was talking about her babies. Like, I know there's some people who's feeling what she said, they don't have babies. You know, say what fits, what suits you. Act like you're talking to, you know, act like you're having a conversation with a mentor, a homegirl, a family member that, you know, you can confide in, you know, a regular conversation, and just breathe life into what you want and what you feel you deserve and what you feel like you're worth. And I talk about that a lot of the time, even though I feel like I don't pray enough. I really do feel like I need to practice praying more, but not for one second. When I heard her prayer, I was like, that's fucking beautiful. But at the same time, I was like, yeah, I'm definitely going to come up with my own individual prayer. And I'll breathe life into that, because I know that that's from the heart. I feel like God would listen to that and be like, yo, I feel not yo, but yeah, like, I feel like that was so genuine. You know what I mean? Just be authentic. I think that a lot of people have a hard time being authentic and true to themselves. Until you can find yourself, there's nothing you can really do or nothing you can pray about. You have to find yourself. You have to be okay within yourself. You can pray a prayer. You can say exactly what Ciara said and not get the same results. And more than anything, we don't really know. We don't know what goes on within her relationship. Realistically, we don't have any idea what that's really about. So speak about what you truly want for yourself. Don't idolize anyone. We're all human. We all bleed the same way and breathe the same way. So, you know, just say what suits you most, honestly, and work on yourself. That's the biggest thing. Work on yourself, because you could be praying for something that you're not even ready for. I talk about that all the time. And I think about that all the time. Sometimes I think to myself, like, Shauna, are you truly ready for the things that you consistently mope about not having, or you think about not having? You may not even be ready for that thing, and God probably knows that. So, you know, just relax, take life for what it is, be grateful, you know, thank God for the things that he has given you thus far. So on and so forth. That's just how I feel about it. But overall, I think that Summer's album was amazing. It was literally a story. It was about, you know, being in denial, being heartbroken, understanding where the hurt came from, struggling to get over it, finally getting over it, praying for something new. Like, it was beautiful. It was a masterpiece. If you are a person, it doesn't matter if that's your genre or not, whether R&B is your genre or not, if you are a person who understands music, then you understand that was a body of work that was definitely worth, you know, some awards, you know, some recognition. It was really, really good, and I liked it a lot. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm probably going to go to sleep because it is 12:30. Actually, it's 12:24 a.m. I'm super tired, but I really wanted to talk about that with you guys. As you all know, I've been posting bi-weekly, and I feel like I've been doing pretty good. I'm actually pretty proud of myself for being consistent. I'm pretty proud of myself for interacting with you guys a little bit more. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in and rocking with me and sticking with me. I will talk to you guys soon. Thank you so much.